Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Go to philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com, to get details on the first ever unedited, uncensored webcast, pay-per-listen webcast, and we will be webcasting the Tournament of Roses Parade on January the 1st. So go to our website, philhendryshow.com. On Friday night, we'll be at GameWorks at the Block at Orange. That's Friday night, this coming Friday night. And I'll be there from 9 until midnight, hopefully. I'm not saying anything other than I'm going to try to make it because, you know, my throat was blowing out here the last week and a half. And we told Andrea about that, and she wanted to drive a steak knife through Mike's back. But all's forgiven, Mike. You're okay now. I think Andrea, I cooled her out, okay? So don't worry about it, you piece of crap. No, I'm just kidding. She got upset when I said I wouldn't be there till midnight. And then I said, okay, well, maybe we'll make it only because I forget it. Who cares about my health? Shut up, Henry. We'll be signing the best of the year 2000. See, I'm the only one that cares. My wife, by the way, is taking disability insurance out on me now. She's taking out hundreds of millions of dollars worth of insurance out on me. Disability. I'll get into that in a minute. Anyway, we'll be signing our CD, and to give you something to do while you're waiting in line to see me, GameWorks is offering a 3-hour game card, good for unlimited use while I'm there. For only $20, $5 of your card purchase will go to my friend's place, and that's a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. And so far, we've made $71,729.50 on the sale of our CD. If you'd like to buy the Phil Hendry Show CD, and you can't come out and see us at the GameWorks at the Block at Orange on Friday night, you can call this number, 877-616-7445, 877-616-7445, $20 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. So I'm talking to the insurance lady today. She comes over to the house. My wife calls, and honey, make sure at 9:30 the insurance woman's going to be there. I told you not too long ago, about a year and a half ago, I walked into the kitchen and I saw about 7 pills laid out in a row on a napkin for me. And I hear calling downstairs, yes, dear.
Did you take your vitamins?
I'm going to take them right now, honey.
Be sure to take all of them.
Yes, dear, I will. And I walk over to these pills and I recognize all of them. Then I see a little capsule with white powder in it. Now, the last capsule that, of course, I had nothing to do with this, that I saw somebody take that had white powder in it was THC. So, and of course, I warned them not to take it, but they went ahead and did it anyway. And this didn't look like no vitamin I'd ever seen before. And I'm hearing her,
make sure you take all of them.
You mean including the one with the white?
Yeah.
So I take most of them, but the one with the white powder in it, I sort of glance upstairs. I look at the pill. I glance upstairs. I threw it away. I threw it away because I didn't know what it was. And there was a moment. I can't even say that I thought my wife was trying to poison me. No, I can't say that because I really don't believe that now or then. But maybe it was me thinking she blew it. She made a mistake. What is that pill? And then I take them and I drink. Then I hear the voice again.
Did you take all of your vitamins?
Yes, I did.
All of them?
Uh-huh. And I'm thinking, why is she insistent on me taking all these pills? So finally she came and said, I got to be honest with you, Maria. I said, what? I didn't take the one with the white powder. What the hell's wrong with you? I said, I'm sorry. I didn't. She said, it's chromium picolinate, you idiot. It's to help you sleep or something. I don't know what it's for. What's it for, Melissa? It's for weight loss. Oh, thanks a lot. You might as well have just yelled downstairs,
hey, fats, did you take your pill? Hey, yo-ho, tubby. Hey, Jenny Craig, did you get that pill down there or not?
Yes, dear.
That's my boy.
So now you cut to today. And I'm talking to the lady, insurance lady, and she's going to pitch me and get my whole application thing on disability insurance. I have got more bloody insurance on me, man. I have got life. Now I'm going to get disability. And disability insurance is if I'm disabled. You know, if I were paranoid and I read one more Ann Rule book, I'm reading all these Ann Rule books. I'm reading Bitter Harvest. I just got done with all these murder stuff. I dig the hell out of her stuff. If you go to my website, I recommend her website, AnnRules.com. She's the bomb. Because she's got all these cool murder mysteries. I'm into true crime. That's what I read. That's what I relax reading. Now, Craig's telling me I ought to be paranoid. She says, you ought to be paranoid, man. Your wife taking all that insurance on you. And today I'm sitting there like the little, you know, guinea pig going, what am I doing today? Sign here, sign here, sign there. Well, now, Mr. Hendry, and it's so comforting. It's so freaking comforting, man, to talk to the woman about, now, if you become partially disabled, let's say your vocal cords are cut in an accident. Well, then, I'm thinking, oh, my God. Let's say only one leg and one testicle is removed in a horrible rocket sled accident. Well, that means you get 20% of the... Well, will I be able to work? I mean, if you can still work, Mr. Hendry, yes. We will put you on partial disability. If you get less than or more than or something like if it's more than 20% of your income, well, then you go to the 50 percentile. Let's say, for instance, that you're horribly castrated in a milling accident. In a grain mill, let's say you're horribly castrated in a silo. Shut up! I do so much milling. Yeah, I'm ferrying grain every day, and I don't know what the hell she said. What are you playing it back to me for? You guys know what the hell I'm talking about. And so it's very comforting to have somebody sitting there. She's, well, then this will pay that, and that'll pay that. I'm like, well, Jesus. And then she said, and boy, did she want to make the sale, man. And we'll send the guy over tomorrow. How soon can you take the physical? Let's go. How do you... I said, well, I'm taking a full physical on January the 8th. You know, is there any way that my doctor... Well, now, you know, does your doctor... Does he test for HIV? I said, yeah, I guess. Isn't that a standard physical panel that if he's going to draw blood, he's going to test for HIV? I've had two AIDS tests in the last couple of years. Not because I need them, thank you very much. I'm a happily married man. But because they got to take them for insurance, right? They got to know whether you're clean or not. I had one last spring. I guess I'm going to have another one for this deal. Then my doctor's going to give me another one for that deal. You know, and I'm going to have people poking and prodding me all these next few weeks. One of the things I really need is that physical. But, I mean, you know, this disability thing. You know, I'm a young man, okay? I'm a relatively young man. And it's scary. It's freaky. You know. So you'll pardon me if I'm a little nervous about all that. I hate that stuff, thinking that I'll be incapacitated or disabled. This is all I know how to do. This is it. This is it for me. See, this is why I work my ass off at this job and do it better than most people do it, because I got no other skill, as if you guys didn't know, as if you couldn't have guessed. Oh, thank you, Craig. Craig mentioned that I can go back to digging ditches. You're absolutely right. I forgot about that. By the way, you're fired. The other thing I wanted to say... Yeah, that's great, man. I'll go back to digging footings for condominiums. Well, you can always do that, Phil. Yes, sirree. I'll go back and building pools instead of, like, hiring guys to do it. I'll do it. I can do the plumbing. I can get down there and start sniffing the glue as I'm putting the PVC in. Have myself a jolly old time. Make a run for the beer when the guys are finishing cement. Little rebar needs bending. So anyway, if I get disabled in the... Why am I even talking about that crap? Have you guys got disability insurance? You do? Where'd you get it? Through the company? Well, then why don't I have it? You guys have disability insurance. Well, how the hell are you going to get disabled? What is going to happen to you that'll keep you from answering a phone? If your arms get amputated? I wouldn't fire you for that. You could just use the stub. You can get, yeah, use a pen. Mike, I will never fire you, man, if your arms get amputated from screening the show. Just put a pen in your teeth and start dialing out that way. Pardon me. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Four four nine eight six eight six. Phil Hendry Show. Go to the website, philhendryshow.com. Get details on our exclusive and our first in a lifetime, first in history webcast of the Rose Parade. philhendryshow.com. P philhendrie.com. And don't forget about our special appearance at the Block at Orange on the 22nd, this coming Friday night. 1-800-449-8686. We'll go open phones here. And who we got here? Bellflower, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, Phil, how you doing?
Good.
Phil, I wondered if you had seen the Tiger Woods cover on Sports Illustrated.
No, yes, I did. I saw a very small picture.
What did you think of that? I'm curious.
I saw a very small picture. I couldn't tell. It looks like he was made up to look like Charlie Chaplin.
Yes, he, I thought, looked ridiculous. He had his legs bowed out like Charlie Chaplin. He had his cap on crooked. And
what were they trying to say there?
I don't know what they're trying to say, but I think that Tiger Woods, first of all, he was named Athlete of the Year. And he was named number one black athlete of the year. And I wanted to point out to you and to your listeners and to anybody who doesn't know, Tiger Woods is not black.
He's not black.
No, sir. He is Chinese and American Indian. Hank Aaron, Michael Jordan.
He has no black blood.
Tiger Woods is not black. His father is Indian. His mother is Chinese or some kind of Asian. And
okay, Mike says the picture of Tiger Woods on the cover of Sports Illustrated is bent like a cane, his golf club, so he looks like a Charlie Chaplin character.
That's correct, yes. And the thing, that, the reason why I called, Phil, is I want to point out two things. I have coached high school sports. I have coached girls in volleyball, and I have coached them in basketball. And I want your listeners to know that golf, although Sports Illustrated had Tiger Woods as a golfer, therefore they characterize it as a sport, it is not a sport at all.
Golf is not a sport.
No, it is not a sport. Golf is a game. And there is a difference.
What's the difference between a game and a sport? I know that people say chess is a game. When we look at...
That's correct. Chess is a game. Checkers is a game. Golf is a game. Croquet is a game. Lawn darts is a game. Golf falls under the same heading as lawn darts and bocce ball because it is out... It is, and horseshoes because it is outdoors. But it takes no athletic skill at all. And I am so resentful of people saying that Tiger Woods is a black athlete. He is not black. He is not an athlete because he doesn't play a sport, and he is not a man who is black because his father was Cherokee and his mother comes from Korea, some damn thing like that. I don't know where his...
hold on for a minute because I have seen pictures of his father, and...
You're going to say he looks like a black man.
Well, yeah, he does look like a black man.
Well, that is a little stereotypical. He is an American Indian. He has Apache and Cherokee blood, and my understanding is Sioux and Shawnee.
Sioux, Shawnee, Apache, and Cherokee.
That's correct. And then Tiger has all of that and Chinese. And I don't know about you, but that is messed up. You know.
Well, I don't want to comment on a man's ancestry.
And I don't either, Phil. I really don't. But I think it's a little messed up. Tiger... I think he's making a fool out of himself, and that's the point that I wanted to make in my phone call. I think.
Well, the picture on Sports Illustrated is just kind of a goofy thing.
I think he is screaming out to people, look at me, I'm a clown. Look at the clown. Look at me making all my money playing checkers. Look at me making all my money.
Well, he doesn't exactly play checkers. Now, you liken golf, and not knowing a lot about the definitions of sport and game, you liken golf to horseshoes.
It is an area of gaming that takes place outside. But golf, horseshoes, and lawn darts, excuse me, are all the same thing. And the cover of Sports Illustrated, I think, is...
What bothers you about that? To me, that's just a whimsical thing.
I never grew up with no black man that looked like that. I have never seen a brother look like that, with a bow-legged out and his hat on backwards, unless I'm watching the Amos and Andy show or some damn thing like that. So I think that Tiger Woods...
Well, Ken, let me ask you something. Tiger Woods should be allowed to be proud of his accomplishments.
I think he should, too. But let's call a spade, if you pardon the expression. He's not black, and he's making his money playing shuffleboard. He belongs on the cover of Gaming Weekly. He does not belong on the cover of Sports Illustrated. And that's the only point I'm trying to make.
Wow. I mean, that's a pretty strong sentiment. But again, I don't know the difference.
You play golf?
I have played golf. I've played golf quite a bit, but I don't play a lot of golf anymore. I blew my back out, and I got to kind of, you know, get back into it.
You know, I listen to your program a lot, Phil. It's all, you always talk about stuff you have to get back into doing. You're not doing anything, are you? Do you play?
I play chess.
Okay, then that's a start.
Okay, so I'm, you know, I'm back into the games. I play chess with the kids.
Well, I don't play golf because I've always considered that to be a rich man's leisure game. And I think accepting the award as Sportsman of the Year, as Black Athlete of the Year, is a fraud, and Sports Illustrated only gave him the award to ingratiate itself with the black community. Because I do not believe that they have any interest at all in making Tiger Woods any kind of a hero. I would be ashamed personally to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated, world champion bocce ball player, world champion shuffleboard player. And
you are making a fairly inflammatory comparison here. Now, I will say...
Well, I'll tell you now, that's my opinion.
All right, but I will say this. I've played golf. I'm not, you know, an athlete. I'm not going to call myself an athlete. But you were saying that playing golf is no different from shuffleboard.
That is correct. And I am...
And you used to be a coach.
I am basing that on my years as a coach. I have coached athletics and golf, shuffleboard, lawn darts, horseshoes, bocce ball.
What, are you trying to think of some other ones?
I am, yes.
Well, I can't think of any other game. I can't...
Well, these are all games, Phil, that I think show slip and slide.
Yeah.
All those games.
Well, then how come we hold Jack Nicklaus in such high esteem?
He's a white man. He's a white man making a lot of money.
All right. But then how come we hold Tiger Woods in such high esteem?
Because now it's cool. All right. It wasn't cool before, but it is cool now to love a black man for his accomplishments. It used to be white people got resentful of it. Now all the white kids love it. They want to be like Tiger Woods. They want to be black like Tiger Woods, and I think that's wonderful. But I think that by the same token, you have to have skills of your own to work on. And I think there are so many other things a young person can do with their life than wasting their hours away, looking like, for all the world, like some dumbass playing water slide or something like that. So I think it's wrong, and that's what I'm trying to say.
All right, here is Alberta on the Phil Henry Show. Hello. Alberta, hello.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. Can you turn your radio down, please?
I don't have it up.
Okay, go ahead.
I used to work for an athletic department of Chaminade High School.
Yes.
And they had a golf program, and it was sanctioned by the athletic department as a sport.
Well, that's wrong.
And
I'm a coach. I used to be a coach of volleyball, and I also coach girls softball. And I can tell you that's a rich white man's sport.
Your radio's up, lady. I can hear it.
No, I'm hearing two conversations at the same time. You're not hearing my radio.
What am I hearing in the background?
I don't know. I'm in my car phone. I'm hearing all of you speaking at one time.
Are you lying?
Pardon me?
Are you lying to the white man?
All right, hold on for a minute.
Oh, give me a break.
Hold on for just a second. You can't hear. I can hear. Go ahead. Make your comment, ma'am. If it's not bothering
my comment
you, it's not bothering
is
me. Right.
My comment is
I hear her radio on, Phil.
Forget about her radio.
I don't have my radio on, so I don't know what the interference is.
I don't understand why I can hear in the background all kind of hoo-ha and everything.
No,
like
you're
that.
Not hearing it from my end because
right, dear,
I don't have my radio
right,
on.
Alberta, let me ask you this. Hold
yes.
on, and you'll be first up when we come back from our break, and we'll let you say
Thank
what you,
you
got. Hold on. Just hold the line, okay? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show. Well, we were going to get back to the volleyball teacher, but she said she had a hopscotch class that she had to teach. She was going to go from golf to Jackson Marbles and then back to hopscotch. Because apparently, according to her, at her school, golf, lawn darts, bocce ball, and hopscotch all get taught in one class. And then the real sports, they move over to those later on. By the way, somebody had called like last hour when Ted Bell was on. And Mike was in there, and Melissa was in there, and they actually heard this guy, and he called up, and he said the following thing, because Ted was on, and everybody was upset with him. He said, yeah, that Ted Bell ought to have a window on the lower part of his door so when his head's up his butt, he can see out. And we were laughing not at how funny the joke was. We were laughing at how badly some people tell jokes or how badly some. In other words, you know, somebody they can't tell a joke. Why did the chicken cross the road to get to the other side? Hey, why did the chicken get across the road? I don't know why. Why? To get to the other side, you know, in other words, what am I dealing with, an idiot? That Ted Bell, his head so up in his butt air, he, and another thing, his window should be down below so when the butt, I mean, no, wait, I'll start over. When his butt, yeah, thanks, we got it, man. God. Carl Misla, by the way, when we had Carl on talking about Madonna. Well, what are we doing? Are we telling jokes now? Are we talking about bad jokes? What are you talking about? So somebody called in, or Carl, someone called in and said, what do Italian women and a catfish have in common? One has whiskers and smells bad. The other is a fish. I'm not talking about jokes. I'm talking about how badly people tell them. Now Mike and Melissa are giving me all the freaking jokes that dumbasses have called in with. Who cares? I'm talking about how did he tell the joke well? So he was saying, what's the difference between the Madonna and the fish? Yeah, but at least you can make something out of that joke. You see what I'm saying? That joke, well told, can be funny. On some other planet, but it can be funny. But this guy, there's no way. His window should be down where his feet are, because when his head goes into his butt, then he can see out of the window. Well, it's not butt level, but it's lower. In other words, he wrote the joke himself, worked on it all morning. You know, polished it up this afternoon. In keeping, he was going to call the Phil Hendry Show with that joke. I'm really, did you really work on it? Yeah, I did. Several drafts later, he's got it. And then he calls us, and he falls apart from a nerve condition. Yeah, see, probably went along something along the lines of, what's the difference between Madonna and a catfish? One has whiskers and smells bad. The other is a fish. Okay. You like that? Yeah, I like it, Charlie. I'm going to call the Phil Hendry Show with it. Well, that's great. Calls up. Hi, you're on the air. Yeah, what? When Madonna has a catfish. Guy worked on it, polished it, did it for his family. You know, so he was a knockout in the kitchen, man. I mean, the guy, he's just slayed them around the kitchen table. So he's going to now come on the Phil Hendry Show, and he's going to lay his grade-A material out there. He had them rolling near the water cooler, over near the lube bay. They just love him when he was getting his car greased. Okay, what's the difference between Madonna and a catfish? I don't know. What's the difference between Madonna and a catfish? One has whiskers and smells bad. The other is a fish. Okay, I got it. You're going to go on the Hendry Show? Yes, I am. Okay. It's going to be great. All right. You going to be listening? Yeah. Watch this. I'm going to call up. Okay. Hi, you're on the air. What's the... Madonna is the catfish, and it's the difference of me. Make sure you tape it for me. Yeah. So when the guy plays it back, here it is. Madonna is the catfish, and it'd be me. Okay, listen, the short bus is out front. Looks like you're going to day camp. Good Lord, how can you butcher that one, Eddie? that's what goes on behind the scenes. And, of course, it's It's really funny. I mean, it's not really funny as in they're funny. It's funny how just like I don't know, find a life, do anything, man. Well, you know, keep calling. It doesn't matter to us. You're not getting on the air. That's for ding dang sure. Ain't never gonna happen, brother. By the way, this present that we got, this thing was the bomb. This was from the guys at Premier. It's a huge chessboard made out of, what do you think that's made out of, man? Some kind of a metal, almost a glass. It's a glass chessboard, and the chess pieces are shot glasses. So the pawns are all a certain kind of shot glass, and then these other elevated shot glasses. And Craig and I came up with a great game to play. You fill all the shot glasses up, all the pawns, everything, right? And when you take a piece, when you take one of the other guys, you have to drink that, you know, you get to drink that shot of tequila or whatever the hell's in the glass. Like one guy's got whiskey, the other guy's got tequila or something. I mean, a great game to play and then get in your car and drive fast down a freeway. Wouldn't that be fun? That would be so swell. Let's everybody come over to my house. We'll play a game of tequila chess. Every time you take a piece, you get a shot. Then get into your car without the lights on and go really fast on the freeway. That's what I call rock and roll, baby. Hey, forget it. Let's just play it while we're driving. Anyway, you'll sound like this. Have just enough tequila, and you'll sound like this.
Frosty the Snowman. Was a jolly, happy soul. Was a corn cob.
Yeah, right, that part right there. That's, you know, a lot of Don Julio. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Craig's talking about coming into the parking structure here on any given day and trying to get his car parked. And, you know, there's all kinds of maniacs, man. You should have seen this piece of work that I saw in Wilshire. I was coming back from a sponsor. We had lunch with a sponsor yesterday, and I'm driving down Wilshire, and this jackball behind me in some form of an SUV, not that it's any problem being in an SUV, but he's just a maniac, and somebody honked at him, made the mistake of honking at him, and he started waving his hands out the window and opened his door as if he was going to jump out of the car and come after the guy. Guys like that don't want to live very long. They just don't want to live very long. They just don't. I'm telling you right now, if you think you're going to play badass in traffic, if you think you're going to play hard man in traffic, if you think you're going to, like, open your car door up to threaten somebody, somebody's going to get out of their car, man, sooner or later, and open your freaking face up. I mean, it's just, you want to die. You want to die. I'm convinced. I'm convinced that guys, people who are particularly angry and demonstrative in traffic are really asking, please kill me. Please kill me. Please. Anybody got a gun? Come on. Now, the other people that are asking for death are the ones that park right here in our parking structure who can't get their car between the two lines that you're supposed to park a car in. Now, Taylor's coming in here today, and some woman is trying to get in, and she can't. And then he's following her up. And if you're following people up the parking levels in this place, and they're going 2 miles an hour because they've never been here before, you know, we work here. So we know we're going to floor it all the way to the top floor. But these people are going along slowly, and they're looking, and maybe they see a parking space, so they turn, and they can't get in, and they back up, and they keep going, and then they turn, they can't get in, and they back up, and they keep going, and this happened. How long did it take you to finally get to the top floor? Like a half hour? Because you're waiting for grandma she turns in, she backs, she can't, she turns in, she backs. That's one problem. That's problem number one. Problem number two is these guys just swing that car, man, right into that space, and if it happens to be slopping over the line, well, that's cool, because I got to get off to my job working at the wherever it is that I work at. My big, important job going off, because I'm busy, man. I can't be bothered. It's, you know, by noon, there's nothing left to park in over here. So every one of those spaces that those guys have got their cars hanging into, those spaces I could use, man. Otherwise, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Go out and park on the street. And, of course, you're tempted to leave a note. Yes, you're tempted to key somebody's door. Yeah, all those things run through my mind. I don't do any of them. I just keep right on going and keep right on smiling, man. But whoever you guys are, figure it out, man. Put your car in between those lines. You can put your, what do you drive? Well, don't tell me what you drive, but what do you, you can get your car in any space? Oh, well, you got a bug, man. You can put it anywhere. You're right. You can park it, you can park it in here. Why don't you just drive it up here and park it here? That drives me out of my mind. Nothing you can do about it. But these guys, you know, but I would like to kind of just wait for them to come out some night. Hi, you're the guy that I was waiting on? It's probably a woman. And just start, yeah, just be waiting for them, and you're just kind of slapping into your hand a PR-24. Today's the day. Today's the day, Alice. But this guy in traffic yesterday, I love this guy. He was all mad. He's going to jump out of the car. Then I'm sitting behind a cabbie. This guy's got one of those cabs, those van cabs, Beverly Hills cab. You know the blue cabs? What are those? I'm turning down La Cienega. Before I turn, though, there's a green arrow, and this dude, this cab driver's asleep. He's asleep, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting. It's a green arrow, and I'm waiting. Finally, the guy behind me honks, so I lean on my horn, and he starts waving his hands out the window. Now, the guy's about 55, 60. Now, maybe he's got a gun under the seat. I don't know. But, you see, if I'd been any other guy other than the loving, kind, sweet guy that I am, then I would have gotten into it with him, and probably there would have been, you know, a dead cab driver somewhere in L.A. yesterday. Because this guy is saying to me, basically, yes, I'm going to sit here at La Cienega and Sunset, and yes, if you honk at me, I'm going to be mad at you, even though I'm a dumbass from Armenia. Thank you very much. I'm just kidding, Silva. We have an Armenian employee here. Just joking around, hon. For all I know, he's some dumb, freaking potato-eating Mick from Santa Monica. Anyway, I didn't do it. So it's nuts out there, especially Christmas time, right? And that's why if I can at all avoid driving anywhere, I do. If I could avoid driving here, I would. If I could do my show from bed, and I'm working on it, man. God, am I working on it. And with this new shot glass chess set that you gave me, Craig, I think I can. Know exactly how I'm going to set the chess set up next to me, fill them all up with a little Don Julio Blanco, and hit the air, huh? Don't forget, PhilHenryShow.com. PhilHenryShow.com for all the information on our exclusive webcast, unedited, uncensored webcast of the Tournament of Roses Parade. And on Friday night, we're at GameWorks at the Block at Orange. Join us there, 9 o'clock.
Between the ages of 19 and 25, the breasts are very pert and the buttocks is very firm. So why would a woman be depressed?
See, the most women get depressed because of love or not love. That's what depressed women more than anything else.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
I don't know about that.
Because I got married at 21 and I was separated and I got very depressed. And I wanted to kill myself because I figured if I didn't have my husband, I had no reason to live.
Well, can I ask you a question? Do you think it's different for African-American women as opposed to the Caucasian or Caucasoid women?
Beg pardon?
That's what I'm going to explain. What?
No, not that I know.
You don't think so?
No.
Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever parlayed?
Have what?
Have you ever parlayed a foreign?
No.
Or gone to the lean?
No.
Okay, so you've never done any of that, see?
And then, what are you asking her?
I was just saying...
You're not asking her anything. Gertrude, this is Phil Henry. How are you, dear?
Fine, thanks.
Question. So you say you were married before you turned 35. Is that it?
Beg pardon? I didn't get what?
You didn't get wrapped?
You said I didn't get depressed.
No,
I didn't get depressed. After 35, I did not get depressed.
Oh, depressed. Yes, exactly. All right, let's go to another call here. Hi, you're on, you stay with us, Gertrude, for just a second, okay?
Okay.
All right, this is... Compton, no, Bellflower, hello.
Yeah, I want to talk to the lady, Gertrude.
Yes.
Hi, my name is Mavis. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
And what is your name, dear?
My name is Mavis.
And what did you want to talk to Gertrude about?
Well, I wanted to invite her to our church. Every Sunday we have bingo, and we have a charity blackjack game. and I was hoping you want to come and play cards.
Well, that's very nice.
Would you like to come, Gertrude?
I tell you, I go to church every Sunday, and my church picks me up. I go to Faith Central, Missionary Baptist Church, you've heard about.
Oh,
we buy in the car.
Oh, that's wonderful. I go to Joyful Union Congregation. That's in Bellflower.
Yeah, my church picks me up every Sunday.
Isn't that lovely?
It is.
Do you play blackjack? Or do
no,
you play?
I don't play any kind of games.
No poker or blackjack?
Oh, no.
You know,
my father was a minister, and I was taught against that.
Oh, you taught all about how that's wrong. Is that right? Because my church, we have blackjack, poker, and roulette.
Yeah, a lot of people do, but I never did play it.
Well, you know we do. We say, come on, because I always pray to Jesus for inside straight. That's the little thing I say to God. Come on, let me pull it inside straight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you ever do that? Have you
no,
ever,
indeed. No, I never pray to
that?
Jesus. And
well, I love God, and I love Jesus, just like I'm sure you do, too, right?
Uh-huh.
Have you got any grandchildren?
Oh, I've got great-granddaughter right here in the house with me now.
Isn't that what that? God bless you. I have 6 grandchildren, and as of yet, I am not blessed with any great-grandchildren.
Yeah, I got great-granddaughter, and I'm 19 children from my family.
You have 19 children?
It was 19. I didn't have 19. I have 19 sisters and brothers.
You are 19?
Yes.
How? Oh, God, I thought that you were 84.
Yes.
You are 19. All right, I'm 78.
Oh, that's nice.
And you're only 19.
I say, I have 19 sisters and brothers.
I couldn't hear that. Could you say that again?
I have 19 sisters and brothers.
Do any of them play poker?
Well,
no.
What, Mavis, dear?
Yeah.
Well, we have to move on, okay?
Yeah.
Gertrude?
Well, I just want to ask her one thing, okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Does a full house beat a straight up?
Never mind, okay?
I don't know.
You don't know about a full house?
I don't know anything about those games.
I had a hotel the other night, okay? I got 3 kings, and I got a...
Thank you very much, Mavis, okay?
Well, all right. I hate it when a white man tells me what to do.
Thank you very much.
Poor lady.
I love all people, but I don't like a white man push me around, you know.
Hmm. I'm not trying to push you around, dear. I just don't want to,
I can't talk about poker. Going on the inside straight. How about a Texas press? You ever play 727? I love it.
All right. Gertrude.
Gertrude, this is Jay Santos. Are you ever sore after sex?
Never mind.
He can say what he wants. I've been listening to your program all night.
He
I'm
is sick, isn't he?
That.
All right, Gertrude. Thank you very much, dear.
All right.
You never sore after sex, huh?
Okay.
God bless you.
God bless you, dear. And God bless you. This is Phil Henry's show. He'll be right back. And
I'll do it. Thank you very much.
What about his music?
There's your stinking music, okay?
Thanks a lot, Mavis. You're welcome, Jay.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Whenever the laws of any state are broken, a duly authorized organization swings into action. It may be called the state police, state troopers, militia, the rangers, or the highway
patrol.
These are the stories of the men whose training, skill, and forced and preserved our state law.
Yeah. I bet you saw it now.
Phil